That's a lesson.
I want to tell you a story. And before I start, so you'll listen, I want to tell you the story has a happy ending. So you don't have to worry about that. So you can pay attention now and know that all is going to end well. But this story starts when I was a senior in high school. I was downstairs teaching the teenage and college age class, and that suddenly we began talking about when people were graduating. It seems a very, very long time ago now. So long time ago, back when I was a senior in high school, I played soccer. And not to brag, but I was pretty good at soccer back in the day. But this night was the night of the district finals in soccer. Win this game, we go on to state, eternal glory. If we win, we're soccer heroes forever. If we lose, this is the last soccer game that I and my friends will ever play as high schoolers. We start the game. Everything's going well. The team's playing good. We're just clicking. Man, we have it under control. Moving the ball around, it is a thing of beauty to watch, I'm sure. We score. We're winning 1-0. Yes, we're going. We're going to make it through. No problem. We are just in total domination of this game. Right about that time, when we think everything's going so great, the unthinkable happens. A soccer ball slips through two of our best defenders. One of their players probably hits the luckiest shot ever in their life, lifts it over the goalie, and it goes in the goal. The score is tied 1-1. There's only about 20 minutes left in the game. My mom comes down the hill, stands over, and waves at the coach. The coach then looks over at the bench. I'm on the field, I'm not on the bench. And points to someone, has them come to the sideline. They sub me off, out of the game. Mom pulls me from the game. You see, it's Wednesday night, and I gotta be at church. Everyone on the team knows that I've gotta go. They all realize how important church is if I'm going to miss possibly the last game of my high school career. After church, I get a phone call. Our team lost 2-1 in overtime. I go back up to the field. I sit on the hill that overlooks the field, and all the teammates come over, and we're all sitting there. I listen as my teammates and their parents tell me how the game would have been different if I'd only stayed for 20 more minutes. I listened to their questions about why I thought I had to go to church and that God would not have cared if I missed one game or missed one service. I answered all their questions as best I could. I explained to the best of my ability how important church was to me and why I made the decision I did. You know how many people were saved that night because of my conviction? Because I took a stand and did what was right? Zero. Zero people said, you know what? I see what you did. I want to follow what you did. Zero people were saved that night. But 5 years later, do you know how many people were saved because of that action I took that night? Zero. Zero people were saved. For a long time, I struggled with that. You have to understand that soccer was my life. As young as I can remember kicking a soccer ball around. I had played forever. And I struggled with the fact that how could I have made what at that time was one of the biggest sacrifices in my life? And it had no impact on anyone. As days turned to years, I often thought back to that night. Now, don't get me wrong, I never once second-guessed the choice to miss the game. I had been taught from a young age what being a Christian meant. I knew exactly what sacrifices were demanded when you say you're going to be a Christian. I understood when we read in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 7, that they weren't really rejecting me. God tells Samuel there that he says, "Hearken unto the voice of the people, in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me. I understood that. I got that. I knew that even when the Lord was on this earth and He would perform miracles, that same time that He performed miracles, as soon as He got done performing them, there were people that would run and try to figure out ways to kill Him. I understood all that. But still, I often thought, when I was sitting on that hill and I was discussing with my fellow teammates, my friends, and their parents, if I had said something different, maybe if I did something different, maybe I could have made an impact. Maybe I could have opened a door that saved someone. I would think back and I would get frustrated with the whole situation. As I thought about it and I would think back on that night, what I struggled with most was, why would Jesus command us to go and do something that was so frustrating? Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20, it says, "Go ye therefore into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." I knew I had to live my life in a way that would proclaim my faith in God. I knew I had to put Him first. I also knew that God's plan for salvation had to be told and had to be lived so that people could see that, so that people could have the opportunity to put Him on. I felt I had done just as Jesus commanded. I had taught. I felt I had explained as best I could. I'd even quoted Scripture to help people try to understand. But no one was baptized. I just couldn't grasp why God commanded us to do something when so many people would reject it. I didn't understand why so many people rejected it. It was frustrating. As I grew as a Christian, and I studied more, and as I began to read, and I began to think, and I began to mature, I began to realize that God is so good. Man, is He good. That God is so wise. That the wisdom that God puts forth and the commands that God gives us are sometimes far beyond our understanding. They benefit us more than we ever know. I began to realize that every time I took a stand for God, every time I put Him first, every time I studied the Bible with someone, even if no one accepted that word, that I grew stronger. I became a better Christian. I became a better soldier for God's army. I began to realize that if you want to serve in God's army, that you had to be tough. Only those that wanted to be there were fit to serve God. Now remember, I told you this story has a happy ending. Here it comes. As I look back on that night, I began to realize that I was wrong. You see, I originally thought I'd put the truth out, I explained as best I could, and no one was baptized. No one benefited from that night. But when I look back on that night, I realized the person that benefited most that night was me. Even though no one else accepted the gospel, that night, when I stood there and I explained and I defended God's word, I grew stronger. Not by a little bit, but by leaps and bounds. It took me a little while to figure that out. But I understand that God is so good. You see, God wants us to seek and save the lost. He wants us to teach all nations. But He knows that if I live my life for Him, if I trust Him, I take the opportunities that He gives for me, I may convert a few people. They may accept what He has to say. But that's up to them. I may be frustrated a lot because I think that maybe they should listen a little more. But living the life that He commands will make me stronger, even if no one accepts His gospel. And ultimately, will get me to heaven. Each day the rest of this week, determine to continue to teach through your actions, through your words. Deal with the frustrations that you've got to deal with when people don't pay attention to what God says, even though you lay it out there crystal clear for them, by knowing that He is equipping you better to make your way to heaven. Know that God is good. Know that He knows what's best for you. and trust Him. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, and 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13 tell us not to grow weary in well-doing, and don't. Even though this week you may be frustrated by people that don't accept God's word, don't grow weary. Don't stop. Keep pushing forward. Let us each hope to change the world, but know that it cannot change you. If we can help you be that type of person, come forward as we stand and sing. Amen.